Hello and welcome, and thank you for joining us as we journey towards the cross and ultimately the empty tomb as we celebrate Easter. And as we journey towards these last days and look through these last days of Christ's life with his disciples, we hope that this will be an encouragement to you and a challenge to you. And today, as we continue on that journey, we're going to be looking at John chapter 14, verses 15 through 30. I'm going to go ahead and start out by reading that passage today. So if you have your Bible, you can follow along with us. Starting in verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. That at that day, you will know that I am the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I love him, and manifest myself to him." Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I say to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, and not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you'd rejoice because I said, I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here." And as we look into this and unpack this over just the next few minutes here, what we're going to see is that this is a very personal, a very relational conversation that Christ is having with his disciples here. We need to understand the context of this. He's in the upper room. He's with them. This is the Passover feast time. And so what he is doing right now is he's instructing, he's speaking to them. It's almost as if God is allowing us to overhear, to listen in on a conversation as he speaks with his closest friends. And as he does this, let us take a look at what Christ does to, one, challenge his disciples, two, comfort his disciples, three, try to bring clarity to them and clarify some things. And then at the end, what we'll try to do is we'll try to bring what's happening here into our context today and see what maybe God would have us to learn, even in the midst of what we're going through today, as we look at what he is teaching his disciples. So first off, what we see is Christ challenging his disciples. He's bringing a challenge for them. Let's just look real quick. Verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." There's a challenge here. Now, I want to note something that's very important. We need to understand something here. Christ does not say, if you seek to live with me for all eternity, he does not say, if you want to make it to heaven, if you want to get into heaven and have eternal life, if you want to be saved, keep my commandments. That's not what he's saying here. And if you're listening today and you're watching today and your trust and your faith is based on what you are doing, in the fact that you're trying to keep the commandments of Christ, I would like to challenge you and let you know and assure you today, there are no amount of commands that you could ever keep. There are no amount of good works or deeds that you could ever do that will pay the admission into heaven. Christ makes this clear just in a few verses before this, in verse 6, where he says to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So understand, if you're listening today and your trust is in keeping the commandments of God, that is not what Christ is saying here. There is only one way into heaven, and that's through Christ. That is to turn from this world, from your sin. Understand that you're a sinner. Understand that you don't measure up, and that you could never measure up, and that I don't measure up, and I could have never measured up. And understand that it's paid fully through the work of Christ on the cross and him rising from the dead. That is the only way to turn from yourself and to put your eyes on Christ and put your full faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And if you do that today, and I pray that you will, if you do that today, or if you have done that today, the challenge here is for us to put actions with that promise. As we see through here, let me just read a couple places where Christ is asking his disciples to do what he himself has been doing. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments, right? Well, let's take a look at this. He says multiple times here, even towards the end, he says, he who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which I hear, which you hear, is not mine, that's Christ, but the Father who sent me. So he continually brings this up. And one of the things that he continually says is, let's look at the very end here. He says, but that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. So as Christ is telling them, look, if you are going to say you are my followers, then you will do what I say. Just like me, Christ saying, just like my obedience to the Father is showing and proving that I am who I say I am, your obedience to me will prove that you are who you say you are. So Christ challenges them right off the bat. And as a result of that challenge, he comes up with, right after that challenge, right as we transition out of that, we see an immediate comfort. So he goes from challenging them to put feet to their actions. We see that throughout Scripture. Put feet to what you say your faith is. Show people. And what does he say? He says, do that. I'm going to pray that the Father sends you somebody to help you. And folks, when we look around today, when we think about all the things that God wants us to do, when we want to be who God wants us to be and do what God asks us to do, we have to remember we need help. Just think about it. The world needs help. And so God is saying, Christ is saying, I'm going to ask my Father, and we'll see later that the Father will answer that request. Christ tells us that. He said, I'm going to ask him for a helper. And that helper is the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of truth. Now let's look at some aspects here. One of the things that Christ said is that you guys will be able to have this Spirit. This is a Spirit that you will have. But if you're one of those that's putting your faith and your trust in all of these other things, or in the world and the possessions and your positions that you have and all the things that you do for other people, understand, you will not be able to, it says, see, they cannot see or know him. What does that mean? They can't comprehend him. They don't grasp him. They may acknowledge him intellectually. Up here, they may get it, but they don't have that personal heart relationship with him. And as a result, they will not have the Spirit. So just because somebody's alive, just because somebody acknowledges the fact that there is a God, does not mean that they have the Spirit. This isn't an intellectual understanding. This is a personal relationship. But as he goes through that, the comfort comes this way. You will have a helper. And then let's see why we need that helper. Listen to this. He says, he dwells with you and will be in you, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And we can't go into all the nuances of every verse here. We just don't have time. But verse 18, he says, I will not leave you orphans. So think about what you picture. Close your eyes and picture an orphan. Most of us have probably pictured a young child, no parents, no friends, no one to help them, no home, no way to take care of themselves, helpless. He says, I am not going to leave you orphans. Listen to what he says. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And how is he going to do that? He's going to do that through this helper, right? He says, I'm going to send you a helper. That idea of helper literally means one who is a consoler, a mediator, an encourager, somebody who comes alongside. And boy, do we need that today. I need that on a regular basis, and especially in times like this, to have somebody that can, that we know can comfort, that can console, that can mediate, that can help us accomplish those things that God wants us to help or wants us to do. And he understands what the disciples are going to be going through, his friends are going to be going through in just the next few days, the next weeks, the next years of their life. He gets it. He knows. And he's letting them know, I am not going to leave you without help. I'm not going to leave you lonely. Can I remind you today? Loneliness knows no age. Loneliness is not bound by ethnicity or socioeconomic boundaries. Everyone can experience loneliness. And Christ is saying, not only will you not experience loneliness because I'm sending you the helper, let me clarify something with you. Let me make sure you understand this. And this is where we get into the clarification piece. He tells them, understand something. Look down, he says, and we're skipping through a lot, and I understand and I apologize. But as we look at this, he says, these things have I spoken to you. He's telling them why he's speaking to them while I am present, while I'm here, because he knows what's coming. While I am here, we're in verse 23. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, he will teach you and he will bring to remembrance. Here's the reasons behind what I'm doing and what's going on. I'm doing this now, and here's why. Because he's going to help teach you and help you understand these things. The illumination of the Holy Spirit is what we call it many times. And he's going to bring to remembrance. He's going to help you remember what I'm telling you and what I have told you. And he does the same for us as we read through his word. And he says, then he goes on and he says, in regards to that, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you, not as the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. So he says, listen, understand something. I'm giving you peace, but not like the world. The peace that I give you is not the same peace that the world gives, because the world can give a peace, but they can take it right back. The peace that I give to you, the world can't touch. This is a personal relationship. This is a comfort and this idea of resting. Why? Because he doesn't want our hearts to be troubled. He doesn't want us to be afraid. Be anxious for nothing, the scriptures tell us. He says, don't let these, the troubledness, the panic that is going on all around you, no matter where you're at, or the cowardliness that comes from being afraid. He says, no, no, I'm giving you my peace. So as a result of my peace, that sustaining peace that passes all understanding, that takes care of the troubledness. That takes care of the fear. And as we look at this, and he continues to tell us these things, he lets us know he's going to his Father. And look, if you understand this, if you guys understood this, you would be happy that I'm going to God. So at the end of the day, How does this relate to us? How does this understanding and what he's talking about, how does this help us as we go forward in today's world? Well, it's quite simple. One, I want to challenge you to follow God's commandments, and we're going to have an ability in probably a way none of us have ever seen to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your body. That's the first commandment, right? And then the second is like unto it. And this is the one that we're going to have great opportunity as we look at this. Love your neighbor as yourself. Folks, we're going to have some opportunities in the days to come to love our neighbors. If we're going to keep God's commands to love him with all that we have and to love our neighbors as ourselves, that means we can't have bitterness. That means we can't be looking at how to be served for ourselves. That means we cannot be upset and angry because certain things didn't happen that we wanted them to happen and things aren't going the way we want them. That means we're going to turn our focus out. And through the love of Christ, and because we have the Spirit of God within us, the Helper, we're going to be able to fulfill those commands in helping others. So be ready. Be ready to be able to serve. Be challenged to keep his commandments in that way. But be comforted, knowing that you have a peace that this world cannot take. The peace you have, the world did not give. And therefore, it cannot take it away. So be comforted in that. But also be a comforter. Comfort other people, maybe brothers, sisters, families, friends who know Christ and they're struggling, or share the comfort that you have. That might be a wonderful way for you to be a testimony to others. And then finally, understand, be clear on the purpose behind all of this. And that is for God to get the glory, for us to be able to look and see God kept his promise. He did what he was saying, what he said he would do. And he even says, I'm doing this so that the world will know that I love the Father and that I am who I say I am. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, so I do. And then he says, let's go. Let's go out. Let's leave here. And he's going to bring this all to a head and all to a close. But folks, may I just remind you today, be ready to do the commandments and the things of God. Be comforted with the peace that passes all understanding, and be clear on this, because Christ gave us all these things not to be afraid, so we won't be afraid, so we know what's going on in the Word, and we know that he's in control. So understand this, the cross did not take Christ by surprise. And that's what's in his future. And for us today, let's remember that the coronavirus did not take Christ by surprise. And the situation that we find ourselves in is not a surprise to God. He knew about it all the time. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. We ask that you would comfort us with the Helper, the Consoler, the Sustainer. And Lord, as we go out from here, and we emerge as you allow us to as a country back into our lives as we live them, probably in a world that's changed forever, that we may follow your commands, love others, that we may be comforted and share the comfort that we have, and that we will clearly understand that you are with us and that you, the Spirit is with us, and that we know you are who you say you are. And none of these things take you by surprise. We ask that you would be glorified as we go throughout the rest of this week. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. I encourage you to continue to join us as we continue to journey towards the cross and the empty tomb. Appreciate your time. And we love you guys, and we're praying for you. And have a wonderful day. God bless.